Good evening. It's good to be with you this evening. I hope that something I prepared to speak to you this evening will be beneficial to you in some way. I thought I was continuing the study in Psalms exactly where I'd left off, but I happened to skip a chapter, so we'll go back and figure that one out another time. But we're going to look at Psalm 25 this evening. Psalm 25 begins with the words of the song that we just sang, and I want to thank Kyle for singing that. The first few verses match that first verse of that song. The psalm itself is titled a Psalm of David, but in its entirety, it feels a whole lot more like a prayer than a psalm, despite the title. And I think it is kind of felt from even those first few words, speaking to God and bringing that trust and faith to God while asking for the help. And that's the kind of the context of this whole psalm follows that trend of bringing your problems and cares to the Lord, asking for Him to remember and care for us and for our problems, so that we can be able to get through this life and handle the things of this life. So I'm going to start by reading verses 1 through 3. And in the New King James, I have both of them up there because the King James is the one we know the best. But in the New King James, it says, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those who be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause." You know, through David's life and through the trials and the troubles that he went through, there were many that he would have held a grudge against him or had something against him, even when he had done nothing to deserve it. There were many of those instances, and we see that throughout all of the Old Testament. We see many of God's workers, those who served God faithfully, going through scenarios where they are faced with trials and troubles that are only because they did what was right. And as David starts this psalm, he lifts up these problems to the Lord. And he says, you know, I don't want my enemies to triumph over me. I don't want them to win. And he says, please don't let those who wait on you, those who serve you, Lord, be ashamed of you. Don't let the servants of God be ashamed of what they do. Don't let them be ashamed of their work. Don't let them struggle with the things that they know they should be doing. Jeff mentioned in his prayer that, you know, it's real easy to be brave and be clear and dedicate ourselves to the power of God's word when we're here. It's a lot harder when we go out in the world, and David's prayer here is that we wouldn't be ashamed of the Lord. But he says, instead, let those who deal treacherously, those who are not serving God, be ashamed. In Psalm 18 and verse 2, it says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." Another passage from David putting that trust and faith in God. He had reason to. And we can see that throughout scriptures, and I believe it's one of the main things that we can have faith in, one of the main parts of scripture that gives us the reason to have faith in God. The reason to dedicate our lives to service to Him is because we can have that trust in a rock, fortress, a deliverer. In Romans 1 and verse 16, Paul speaking to the Romans here says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." Now, of course, under a new law, under a new covenant, But still, the same holds true. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Not because he didn't have any pushback. Not because he didn't have plenty of the world trying to make him ashamed of it. But because he knew that it came from the power of God and that it was beyond anything that this world could offer. And so with that in mind, David continues in verses 4 through 5 to request guidance from God. To request that rock and that shield could be there for him and guide him through this life. He says in Psalm 25, verses 4 through 5, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day." Show me your ways. You know, he writes elsewhere that God's word is a lamp to your feet and light to your path. He says, show me your ways. Show me how to go. You know, we think of David as a good man, someone who in most of his life served God faithfully. He was the second king of Israel, and he led Israel much better than his predecessor. But still he had problems. And still he understood that as a man he needed God to show him his ways, to direct him in his paths. In John 8, verses 31 through 34, it says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.' They answered him, 'We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?' Jesus answered them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin.'" All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We know that. We know that sin is in the world. We know that sin is a part of all of our lives because we cannot continually walk in true faithfulness to God at all times. David asked for guidance. He asked for a way. And when Jesus came to this earth, he said, "I am the way. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." He gave us the way. He gave us direction. You know, there were a lot of things that weren't very clear in the Old Testament law, in the old law of Moses. It was all there, but it was very hard to follow. It was very hard to direct your path based off of that. And David says, "Lord, show me how I need to live." And I believe that the Lord showed him how to live, but he also made it a lot easier for us and sent his son to give us that way even further and even better than what David could have seen. In verses 6 through 11, David continues with a little bit more of a self-reflection and a little bit more that even more so feels like a prayer than even some of what we've looked at so far. Verses 6 through 11, it says, "Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindnesses, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me, for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth, to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great." David starts in this portion by focusing on the goodness and mercy of the Lord and requesting that the Lord remember his care, asking for the help of the Lord to remove his sin, to remove his transgressions, to allow him to stand righteous in his sight. It's a very interesting concept to me, and I have criticized one of our songs for saying essentially this, and I may have been wrong, but the statement that he makes, it says, "For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great." He places that request on the Lord, that essentially that the Lord clear his name by clearing his sin. And that seems very strange to me, but I think what he is saying is, you have promised that you will forgive. You have promised that you will help us and that you will not remember the sins of my youth. That you will not remember my sins against me when I've asked for that forgiveness. So please do that, Lord. Clear me and free me. In Psalm 51, verses 1 through 3, he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me." You know, this is following the sin with Bathsheba, and although we don't have any indication of where Psalm 25 falls in the timeline of David's life, this one is very clearly titled with that information. And he says, "Lord, my sin is always before me. I know what I've messed up in. Please forgive me." And that's a common trend throughout the Psalms. And I think it's important for us to realize that that cry for forgiveness is something that we can all do. It's something that is present there, and it is something that we can all take advantage of. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 through 10, Paul, talking to the Ephesian brethren about their lives before coming to Christ, it says, "In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." God has given us a way of forgiveness. God has given us a path, and he is faithful and just to forgive us. He says, you know, all of these Ephesian brethren, he says, you once walked in these things of the world. You once were the people of the laundry lists of evils. He says, I walked in some of those myself. But he says, here, we all have been forgiven. We've all been given mercy because of God's great love. Even when we were dead in trespasses, we've been given new life. Sometimes I think that David, in the way that he wrote, saw more of kind of felt the presence of God more in the way that we see it than what was common in Old Testament scriptures. His requests for forgiveness, his requests for aid, come more similarly to the New Testament scriptures than many of the others. And maybe I'm just reading into something that isn't there, but whether it's there or not, the requests of David continue to ring true of that cry for forgiveness, that cry for aid, that cry for help. And it is to those who are righteous, to those who are following God, that David continues with the blessings to those. In verses 12 through 14, it says, "Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant." The one who fears the Lord, the one who serves the Lord, the one who chooses to follow the Lord, that man will be taught in the way of the Lord. You know, there's a lot of people in this world today who will say that they can't follow God, or they'll say it's too hard. They'll say it's doesn't make sense. And of course it doesn't. If you're not going to step into it, if you're not going to try to figure it out, you're not going to figure it out. I can buy some piece of machinery with 1,000 pieces and take it all out of the box and strew it on the floor and say, well, don't know what to do with this now. If I don't pick up the manual, I'll never know. Now, I might be able to get 2 pieces together, maybe 3 or 4, but I'll never get the full picture. There are a lot of people in this world that think that they have the full picture. But without the Word of God and without that guidance of God, we can't have the full picture. And David prays to the Lord to give him that strength and to give him that guidance. And on top of that, he continues to say that those who serve the Lord will receive that more and more. In Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. That word delight in the law of the Lord is very heavy to me. And I think it's mostly because there's a lot of times I don't really delight in the law of God. It's not the easiest thing to continue to pay attention to the Word of God and to continue to dedicate yourself to that study of God's Word. But the Word is very clear that those are who will be blessed. Those who delight in God's law, those who will dedicate their lives to service to God, those who will dedicate their minds to the study an understanding of the Word. Those are those who will grow. Those will grow and learn and prosper. In verses 15 through 21, David continues and he says, my eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn yourself to me and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Look on my affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. David closes this with requests for safety, requests for help, that the Lord can bring him out of the troubles that he faces, that he can handle the enemies that he faces constantly, and that he can continue on. In Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2, it says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. What a blessing it is to be able to say that our help comes from the one who created heaven and earth. John chapter 10, verses 7 through 11 says, then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. David requested safety. He requested help to avoid his enemies. And when Christ came, he said, I am the good shepherd. I'll lay down my life for you. I'll give you that safety. I'll give you that knowledge and the ability to be right in my sight so that you can go in, come out, find pasture, as he puts it, that we can be safe in him. The final verse of this psalm struck me a little bit interesting because it feels a little bit of a deviation from the rest of it. It says, Redeem Israel, O God, out of all their troubles. After he's gone through this whole psalm, asking for help from God to deal with the situations he's dealing with, to handle his enemies, to find safety and truth through him, to be forgiven of his sins, he turns around at the very last and says, Redeem Israel, O God. And I think that he must have at this time already been king, because that's his focus. Even after dealing with all the things of his own life, he puts his focus on his nation, his people. And he says, help them. And I think it interesting because David had to handle himself. He had to be right with God in order to lead his people. He had to be right with God in order to get to the point where he could be the king that he needed to be in God's sight. And he prayed for them as a portion of his trying to make sure that he's doing what he's supposed to. I want to look at a couple of passages here with this. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 through 17, I think this prayer was answered. Maybe not in David's time, maybe not in Solomon's time, or in any of the kings that followed. But I think there was a promise that was given to David that showed that this would happen at some point. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 through 17, it says, Now it came to pass, when the king was dwelling in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies all around, that the king said to Nathan the prophet, See, now I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells inside tent curtains. Then Nathan said to the king, Go do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you. But it happened that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, Go and tell my servant David, Thus says the Lord, Would you build me a house? Would you build a house for me to dwell in? For I have not dwelt in a house since the time that I brought the children of Israel up from Egypt, even to this day, but have moved about in a tent and in a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about with all the children of Israel, have I ever spoken a word to anyone from the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, Why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus shall you say to my servant David, Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I have been with you wherever you have gone, and have cut off all your enemies from before you, and have made you a great name, like the name of the great men who are on the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Nor shall the sons of wickedness oppress them any more, as previously, since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused you to rest from all your enemies. Also the Lord tells you that he will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the blows of the sons of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from before you, and your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever, according to all these words and according to all this vision. So Nathan spoke to David. And it is at this point that the promise was given from God to David that his throne would not cease, that his throne would continue forever. And in Luke chapter 1, verses 30 through 33, says, "Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.'" Psalm 25 is a psalm of praise and glory to God. It's a psalm of requests and prayers. It's a psalm of hope in some ways and struggle in others. But realistically, what I see in Psalm 25 is a prayer for help, a prayer for aid, and a prayer that, for the most part, we could still say today. But we have the culmination of that prayer already with us. Jesus Christ, Son of God, came to this earth, gave his life on the cross for our sins, was raised to rule over a kingdom that would have no end, to sit on the throne of David. And it is his kingdom in which we sit today. I hope that this has been an interesting study to you. The connections to Christ and his mission were very interesting to me. And I hope that if you're not right with God in some way, that you will take this as inspiration to make a change. Whether that be that you're not a part of the kingdom of God, that you're not baptized into his body, that you can be freed from your sins, so that you can stand with the righteous, so that you can know the truth. Or whether that be that as a Christian, you're struggling with your life with God. And like David, you're asking for the forgiveness of your sins. And you would like the prayers of the church to help you with that. If you have a spiritual need of the church this evening, we ask you come forward as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.